Hello and welcome back to the Smashy Business Show on a Friday. I'm Farah Bashir.
And I'm Richard Fitzgerald.
And we have a lot of news for you. So we are going to talk about ADNOC Drilling lands a $733 million contract for three island rigs in Saudi Arabia. Esports World Cup offers a record $60 million prize fund, and financial crime in UAE and Saudi Arabia totals $1.8 billion in 2023.
Are you a gamer, Farah?
I actually used to be. I used to play when I was younger, GTA. And yeah. That used to be like funny for me, like, I don't know.
What console is that?
People, I really do not remember at
all. Is it PlayStation or Xbox, one of those?
PlayStation. Yeah, it's a PlayStation. And I had as well like one on the computer. Yeah. And I just like loved, stepping on people.
Would you, stepping on people? If you played GTA, you know, would you play with your friends? Would you play alone?
I used to actually play alone.
And did you play for hours? I remember there was Championship Manager football game, and I would play for hours. It would keep me up at night. I would play for hours and hours and hours.
What game?
It was called Championship Manager. It was a football game. It was on a PC. But people do game, like, gamers game for hours, right?
They do. Oh my God, yes, they do. And it's so, because I had a friend, and he would sit for minimum 5 hours.
5 hours gaming.
Minimum.
You know, I flicked on Shahid last night, and I was watching this funny show in Saudi. It's called Cloud Kitchen. It's young girls, and they're fighting over a restaurant. It's quite good. It's quite entertaining. Anyway, because I was watching it before, and to find it, I had to scroll down. All Shahid, the whole thing at the top is taken over by the Esports World Cup. Like, it's front and center. There was three live matches. There was Call of Duty. There was something else. There was something else. And I flicked into them all, and there was their proper studios over in Riyadh. Like, it's unbelievable. Our headline figure here is the $60 million in 8 weeks of tournaments. But, like, this Esports World Cup is a sign of the future, isn't it?
It is. It is. It really is. And at this point, you know, to my friend, who I used to like literally bully for gaming, and I'd be like, "What are you doing with your life? You're wasting 5 hours of your day when you could be doing something productive."
True.
And he would tell me things like, "Farah, it's going to be the future." And yeah. I used to not believe in that, but turns out he's right. So
is he involved now in the Esports World Cup?
He is not, but I would assume my cousin.
Yeah,
would want to be or would be interested.
Check out that, guys. Check out Smashy Gaming on Instagram and stuff, because we're going to go big on this over the next 2 months. Like, there's just so much going on there. There's prize money. Obviously, Turkey Al Sheikh did an announcement of this money, but you know, we know that MBS Mohammed bin Salman, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, is a gamer. He was interviewed famously by Fox in Sindala and Neom on the island last year, and they asked him, "What do you do for your downtime?" And he said, I play games." And so, you know, when you've got the future king of the kingdom, who's a gamer, and you've got this inaugural World Cup, like, you know, the Euros are on in football at the moment, and people assume that these tournaments have been around forever. And obviously, you know, we have Wimbledon's on, we have the Olympics coming up. Last week we had the T20 Cricket World Cup. And, you know, 18 months ago or 2 years ago, there was the Qatar FIFA World Cup in Qatar. And, you know, I just like to put these things in perspective. I have a point here, right? But the trophy for the FIFA World Cup is called the Jules Rimet Trophy. Jules Rimet was a person, and the trophy was named after him. The inaugural tournament was 1930, less than 100 years ago, but 100 years ago. Mm-hmm. And now we've got the inaugural Esports World Cup. And if we relate this to the direction of the world with digital and with climate, and the fact that a tournament has been run over the summer in Riyadh, and we see indoors becoming more and more part of sports because it's getting hotter out there, right?
Yeah,
and the weather and the climate and everything like that. So to think of the Gulf as being an economy in the future of the world and center of the world in the future, as we like to think of it, thinking that this could be the inaugural 2024, in 100 years time, maybe we'll be talking about the Esports World Cup in the same way that people talk about the Football World Cup.
That is true, because like right now we do see 17-year-olds and teenagers actually making millions and millions of money just by actually gaming online.
gaming online, and they're all part of teams, and they all have their own IP, and they're all streaming, and many things.
And they train a lot every single day, as if like it's a championship. And not only that, like I think the main games that I've heard about from my cousins, who are boys that just keep that their heads are in the computer all the time. Fortnite.
Fortnite's a big one. Roblox is a big one.
Yes. Oh my God. And I would like try to understand them and try to like get in the vibe with them. But it's very interesting, of course.
Yeah. I used to love when I was a kid. We had. I think it was even before PlayStation, but we used to play Super Mario Brothers and stuff.
Oh, yes.
My favorite game was at the time. I think a Nintendo 64, I forget which one, but was the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I love that game. This is going back like
that's,
a good 20
that's
years.
That's one thing, maybe. I don't think I would. I think 20, I was like still
years.
Like young and probably like just like thinking of something else.
Yeah.
But speaking of that, actually, you know, we have, let's jump to the main news of Saudi Arabia hosting the Esports World Cup, which is very exciting. So if you guys don't know, so Esports World Cup features $60 million prize pool, the largest total prize pool in the esports history. Speaking of esports, which is very exciting, and as well, the tournament has captured significant global attention from the gaming and esports community, promising to make a substantial impact. So you guys, at this point, esports and digital, I would say.
Yeah.
Sports is really making its mark.
Yeah,
in
what
the
have
world.
We got? We got 22 competitions, 21 different video game titles. The titles alone are part of big companies, so it's commercial for them. You've a game called Counter-Strike 2, Dota 2, League of Legends, Farha, you mentioned Fortnite, there's Valorant, there's EAFC 2024, which is the FIFA game, Street Fighter 6, Rainbow 6, Siege, and then another one called House of Kings, another one called Free Fire. Do you know some of these? Some of them are new to me.
Well, I know, honestly, Fortnite.
Yeah.
I know Call of Duty. I know FIFA.
Yeah. So the tournament is a unique club championship format, and there's 20 million prize money will be distributed among the top 16 clubs based on their cumulative performance. There's the Doha 2 tournament, known as the Riyadh Masters, 20 teams. Teams are known as Team Liquid, Team Falcons, Betroom Team. You also have top-ranked teams, which we've heard of before, FaZe Clan, actually listed on the stock market in the US. You have G2 Esports, Team Spirit, Nasus Vincere, if I'm pronouncing them correctly. A whole host of stuff going on there
that
in esports.
And by the way, the tournament's going to be running from July 3 till August 25. But I have a question. Do you think that universities should have, let's say, a major of like either computer science that's like related to gaming or something like that? Because it's honestly like the future, and everyone is really interested in esports and gaming.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not sure. I'm speaking about it now. I'm excited because it's bringing the world to Riyadh, and I see positives around that, and I see positives around streaming and commercial and brand and IP. I'm not sure how I can answer that in terms of like education and health and well-being, and you know, would I want my kids to be esports world champions? I don't know. Like maybe, but I wouldn't. But as long as they've got a healthy life outside of that, because you know, let's put it this way, right? I sit at a desk for 8 hours a day, so why can't someone sit at esports for 8 hours a day as their job? As long as maybe they do an hour of exercise in the morning.
But it can get addicting.
Well, so is work. So is work. Like if it's a vocation, you know, work is like we have office culture. You know, I think there is a perception, and I kind of alluded to earlier, that people game all night and it's unhealthy and it's Red Bull and it's through the night and stuff like that, and it's lonely and isolated and headsets and on your own, but so is work, right? Like you can be isolated in work, you can be a coder. You know, I can sit at my desk for as I have for 20 years and worked, right?
Yeah.
And I think if you apply that as a vocation, then it doesn't have to be as bad. And I think we definitely need to sort of embrace it in different ways.
But I think honestly as well, because like, you know, kids are making a lot of money out of it. And my cousin, who's like a baby cousin, he is like so young. He hasn't finished school yet. He is making money as well. And it's like the amount of money that they're making is really quite tremendous. It's a big number.
Yeah,
they make a lot of money.
But they do. But I do think commercially, it's still in its early stages. You can make money. Like PewDiePie was a gamer. He was the biggest YouTuber. Like in the 1%, you can make money. But then so can other YouTubers. But I think the esports. I think this is big. This is good. It's definitely not at the level of bigger sports. But there's a lot of things to follow here. I'm just looking at one of the well-known teams. In Overwatch 2 competition is called X Oblivion, and they withdrew citing accessibility concerns. So it is interesting. There are lots of stories being written about this. It's been done over 645,000 square foot venue in Riyadh Boulevard. We've seen the fireworks, we've seen the lights, and I just think it's a huge story of the summer. In a week's time or so, we'll have the Olympics starting. We have the Euros quarterfinals tonight and everything like that. But let's focus on this region. Let's focus on the esports let's get to know it.
Soon it's going to be, by the way, I would say streamed all over.
Yeah.
That's what I would expect for esports tournaments, which is very exciting. But you guys, it's just maybe keep it for the future. And we're going to be, of course, discussing it in the future if it happens. And let's jump to our next story, which is about a financial crime in the UAE and Saudi Arabia that totals $1.8 billion in 2023. Of course, that's all according to a report. So according to Nexus Risk Solutions, the true cost of financial crime compliance study in Europe, this Middle East, Africa, published in March 2024, the combined financial crime compliance cost in Saudi Arabia and the UAE reached $1.8 billion in 2023. And nearly all financial institutions in these regions reported shouldering increased costs for financial crime compliance. And the three biggest drivers of increased compliance costs are labor, technology, and outsourcing. What do we think of that? Because as well, they are saying that the surge in compliance costs is contributed to several factors, which is stricter regulations, the need for advanced compliance tools, and evolving criminal tactics that exploit new technologies like cryptocurrencies and AI.
Yeah, you know more about it than me, but definitely it's something that's getting bigger and bigger as well, and I think they're tackling it in the right way.
They are. We do see a lot of the times, a lot of headlines of financial crimes happening all over, and the fact that the UAE and Saudi Arabia, both of them, they had $1.8 billion dollars, it's not a little number, it's a very big number.
And speaking of future jobs, as we talked about esports and things like that, definitely we hear that cybersecurity industry and profession is kind of like engineers and coding, but it's actually one of the higher paid professions now in the world. And it's hugely, it's related to ESG, corporate and governance. But cybersecurity is something fundamental that people need to look at. In their organizations, it's how do you protect data? How do you protect your employees? How do you protect your business? And it's kind of a wider trend. We talk about empires and we talk about the history of the world and countries being bigger than others, and we talk about AI, but actually the new world is a lot to do with data. It's a lot to do with cybersecurity and how you can manage that. So ignoring this is a mistake, and a lot of people should look into not just the fears and protect themselves around cybercrime, but also how can you invest, how you can almost make revenue from cybersecurity and data as well.
That's true, and as well with economies in the UAE and in Egypt getting, let me move Egypt out of the equation, but economies in the UAE is getting better. So cybersecurity, as you said, is very much needed, and a lot of people are actually becoming victims of people with all of these hackers and all of these, I would say, scams that are all around. And as you said, the cybersecurity is very essential. And again, with the financial crime that happened in the UAE and Saudi Arabia that totaled $1.8 billion in 2023, in that case, cybersecurity is very essential. And as well, which brings me to wonder, what are the future, jobs of for like it's the UAE, other than cybersecurity and data and journalism, not journalism, let me say data, AI and cybersecurity?
Yeah, definitely the cybersecurity area is quite big because it touches everything. It's a government security level. It's also individual companies and, you know, but is it, are we going to have hundreds of thousands of cybersecurity jobs? I don't think so. I do think that, you know, there are companies that are listed on the stock market in the US that are pure cybersecurity companies like CrowdStrike and a few others. Mm-hmm. And I think there are going to be more companies like that in this region. You know, we see a lot happening down in Abu Dhabi with Hub 71 and a lot of other initiatives like G42 are doing a lot in AI and things like that. So we see more and more future-related jobs there. You have to look at how the economy is shifting away from oil, but into other energy sectors as well. Services, tourism. We saw the Michelin, you talked about in Love and Dubai show, the Michelin Star Awards, what happened again last night. I think it's the second year, it came around very quickly. You know, the hospitality sector, tourism sector is really, really big. So we'll continue to have jobs there. Esports and sports in general. Sports in general is on the rise here. Smashy Sports obviously does a lot with futsal, volleyball, handball and basketball in the UAE. But I think we're going to really see more rise of football in the region, like on the back of what's happening in Saudi. So sports in general, bigger tournaments, more events, international events. The FIFA World Cup is coming up in Saudi in 10 years, and a lot of sports related industry, wellness, a lot about wellness. You know, the construction and developers know, and hospitality know that, you know, I was at ATM this year and a lot of the hotels have wellness focused offerings. A lot of the bigger groups, you know, when you go to a hotel, it's not just about, is there a nice pool and is there a nice restaurant? It's, well, okay, what time are classes at? Do you have a nice yoga studio? Do you have this? Do you have that? Like all those sort of things are up and coming. And that's the same with developments, right? We talked before that Imar have a new brand called VO where they're putting their own wellness centers into the developments, livability, quality of life, like all these sort of things. So you can look across, I could go on. I could talk about education, I could talk about health tech. Yeah. You know, the macro themes you could talk about, but you know, it's hard to predict, you know, where the bigger jobs are and where you should give career advice for. But I always say follow the money in terms of if there's investments going somewhere, then you know that there needs to be employment around that. You know, we're going to put up a story on Smashy Business this morning that Qatar announced a $5.4 billion Disney-like place, venue that's a couple of kilometers north of Doha on the coast. And there'll be construction jobs there. There'll be hospitality jobs there. You know, Riyadh has a lot of initiatives as well. So I think follow the money, but also with a pinch of salt. Like before, we saw a lot of investment in blockchain and, you know, crypto, but it hasn't fully manifested in a lot of jobs yet. But potentially,
I mean, yeah, it is really exciting. But I personally think that with the news of the financial crime is that there will be a lot of investment happening regarding that for a solution. And I think it's going to be AI focused, to be very honest with you.
Good prediction, but more succinct to the point.
That's my prediction. That's just like Farah's prediction. Of course, you guys, I would say that you would probably want to trust Richard's predictions since he has like the business brain more than I do, or maybe he predicts things more better.
No, I think you're right to call it out as AI.
It's just like, but let's jump to our next story. So
you've come a long way in a few months.
Oh yes, for sure. Yes, I can. I mean, even the way that I think and speak has been different. I'm noticing that. But let's jump to our next story. So ADNOC Drilling lands a $733 million contract for three island rigs, you guys. It's not one, but three island rigs, and it's going to be at the offshore Zakum field. And these rigs will be constructed by Hong Kong-based Shanghua Group HH and will be operational by 2026. And the project will expand ADNOC's drilling fleet to 148 rigs. Now, additionally, HH and ADNOC Drilling will collaborate with AIK, ADNOC's venture with G42 to integrate AI and performance data into the rig's operations. And this contract is part of ADNOC's broader effort to increase its crude oil production capacity, which recently rose to 4.85 million barrels per day, and to invest in its drilling fleet totaling more than $2.2 billion since 2021. I would want to say something about this. It's that I think that they have found like opportunity of like more oil, I would say. And yeah, then they thought in a way like, fine, and then let's talk to invest in more rigs.
Yeah, definitely.
That can benefit them.
Yeah, they have. And, you know, it's sort of, you know, ADNOC obviously got lots of different things going on. We talked about gas on the show this week, we, you know, Masdar and different things as well, that Sultan Al-Jaber, the chairman of ADNOC, is also CEO of ADNOC, is also CEO of Masdar. So they've got renewable energy projects as well. But this is obviously for oil. Over 80% of the recent $980 million contract awarded to ADNOC Drilling will be reinvested in UAE's economy through the ICV program. There's supplier incentives, there's local supply chain benefits, GDP diversification, job creation, and economic growth. In-country value, they call it, the ICV program. So this is what they're doing in general with drilling. You know, they have over, this is three new rigs, but they've got over 140, I think, rigs in total. Yeah. So yeah, like the ADNOC distribution is another part of the company. I think they have seven main divisions, and ADNOC Drilling is one of them. So the drilling is the one that looks for the crew, looks at oil, and distribution obviously distributes it. But the drilling are the projects that you need to put the capital investment down before you see the return. And it's a separate entity. Like ADNOC Gas is a separate entity. ADNOC Drilling is also listed on the ADX as well. So it's a separate entity. And, you know, it is good to see that companies in the UAE, you know, oil, we are slowly moving away from fossil fuels. But while we do, it's good that there is commercial value around it. You know, ADNOC are managing that shift to energy quite well.
So I have a question for you. Yesterday, I spoke on the show how His Highness Sheikh Salman advised that we would to invest in Aramco.
Yeah.
In the oil in Aramco. And people who do not invest are going to be regretting that later.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, do you think that it is a good idea to actually invest in oil? Like in this case, if we would, let's say, invest with ADNOC.
It depends. Morally, probably not. Probably it's not going to help the planet. But I don't think it's, personally, I don't think it's as harmful as investing in tobacco companies, right? Like I think there's, it's, you know, we need to reduce, and I'm not a climate expert, but we need to reduce our dependency on oil. But also we can't reach targets without energy, and we can't have the lights on, the many things that we need. But I think commercially and business-wise, if you think of ADNOC, it's close to $3 trillion. Aramco is close to, because it was the chairman, it was the guy from Aramco who said this, that he was doing a tour to they're raising more funds, and he was basically saying to international investors why you should invest in Aramco. I like Aramco because it's listed in Saudi, it's not listed in the US or London or whatever. And a lot of the dividends goes back to shareholders in the kingdom. I think PIF's stake in Aramco is up to about 16% now. So a lot of the profits from Aramco are being diversified into other giga projects. But for I remember hearing the price of crude oil is, you know, I forget the number right now, but it goes between $70 and $100 per barrel. And, you know, there is a statement saying somewhere that there's 30 billion barrels of oil that haven't been produced yet. They produce 10 million a day or something. And how many can they produce? So if you think it's $100 a barrel and there's that many underground in Saudi, then you can easily, if you have that many resources and assets, you can easily value the company at $3 trillion. So that's what my point. I think Aramco is undervalued. I think we've got 20, 30, 40 years left of this stuff, like really layman's terms prediction. But I think Aramco is undervalued because I think it's got all that resource there and the price, they're maintaining the price.
But one thing,
and the cost of production is cheap. Yeah.
But one thing that confuses me is that, you know, like countries like Saudi Arabia, the UAE, and several other countries have environment in their equation for their vision of 2030. Yet, they still are actually working with oil and actually telling people to invest in oil. How would you... It's kind of like confusing, you know.
It's like a contradiction. Yeah, there's definitely a bit of a contradiction here. But again, you know, what provides energy to the world? What makes, you know, what provides energy is oil. So until we have replacements of energy, then the shift to renewables is happening. We're looking at electric vehicles, looking at hydrogen. We're looking at other things that are better for the planet and the environment. And these are the big topics that were discussed at COP28 in the UAE last year, and there's a lot of experts who look at this all the time, and I think there's a lot of pressure on countries and companies who run these companies to have plans in place. But I do think the UAE and the Saudi, although they've been known as oil-producing rich countries, that they are shifting their economies away from oil. And when they're less dependent on oil profits, then that's good.
Exactly, that's my point, is that, you know, they're telling people to invest. However, they are shifting from oil to a greener community. However, you guys, this brings us to the end of our show. Thank you all for tuning in. And don't forget, we do go in podcast form in case you've missed it. And see you next Monday.
Take care, guys. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.